Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. As promised, Tim Staples this hour. You can ask him whatever you'd like. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We're going to take a moment to do a little something different to start this hour as well. And we've been trying to do more of this. There's this wonderful thing is happening that Catholics, both converts to the Catholic faith, and people who have been Catholic their whole life are discovering that they can do, just to put it bluntly, what we do. Yes. And often for particular communities, but sometimes just putting it out there for the whole world, explaining and defending the Catholic faith, inviting people into the Catholic Church. And we've got one who's doing a great job right now and who we're delighted to be associated with. Maybe you've heard of SIPS with Sarah. And it's not Sarah like Sister Sarah, but like Father Sarah, Father Junipero Sarah. Adrian from SIPS with Sarah, thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for clearing up how to say the name. I often get SIPS with Sierra, so I appreciate you saying
that. Oh, yes, right. My father is a longtime member of the Sarah Club. They pray for vocations, and he said people always think it's the Sierra Club. But no. We're delighted to have you here. You yourself are a convert to the Catholic faith.
Yes. Coming up this Easter will be 1 year since I have been a confirmed Catholic.
Oh, congratulations. God bless you.
All right.
Can you tell us? Tell us a little bit about that. How did that happen that you came into the Catholic Church?
Well, it's quite a long story with some false starts and some runaround. But in short, I was going to an evangelical church, which is kind of the tradition I grew up in.
Okay.
Fell away, went into atheism, came back to Protestantism, started to learn about the early church and realized, hey, they have some beliefs that really don't line up with what my church is teaching, particularly about the Eucharist and baptism. And that led me to look into more traditional forms of Christianity. Catholicism was obviously high on that list. And then some family scared me out of it. I was about to join RCIA. Some family scared me out of it. So I thought, okay.
Like with a shotgun? I'll... Like what kind of family do you come from? How were they scaring you out of it?
There was some just some strong words. No weapons.
I see. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
The Catholics are pagans, or Catholics are idol worshippers, or what kind of thing?
Yeah, they worship Mary. Idol worshippers. You're not. You won't really be a real Christian. So on and so forth. You'll go to hell. Thankfully, those same family members have now come around a little bit more to Catholicism. Not in the sense that they're going to convert, but in the sense that they're more accepting of it.
Don't
so
know.
I'm very grateful for
you
that.
You don't know.
Hey.
You don't know.
We can
yet.
Hope.
Life
can
is
hope.
Long. You don't know. At some point, despite the fear, you turned towards the Catholic Church. What happened?
Yeah. So after spending 2 years in the Lutheran tradition, I just kept feeling this tug towards Catholicism, and a lot of it had to do with some of the work you guys are doing. A ton of it had to do with you guys, actually, especially Tim Staples. I was reading Behold Your Mother at that time.
He got you.
Before. Mm-hmm. He got me. And I talked about this. I talked about this recently on another channel, but I read a couple of chapters of that book, and I was like, I don't even need to finish this. Like everything the church says about Mary is probably true. I don't even need to finish this. I'm so convinced because it was just so well reasoned. Whereas before I thought they just made this stuff up. Like they don't know what they're talking about. And then just seeing how well reasoned just the first few chapters were, I was like, oh, this stuff is actually pretty well founded, very well founded in scripture and in the early church. So from there, it was just a matter of time until I became a Catholic.
So tell us about your channel, SIPS with Sarah. People can get you on YouTube. You're posting all the time there on YouTube. So tell us about what you do there and how that came about.
Yeah, so I actually, so what I do there is just Catholic apologetics, but I generally just talk about topics that are interesting to me, topics that are commonly misunderstood about Catholicism. And really the way this started was I was actually on TikTok a couple of years before I became a Catholic, and I was actually doing Protestant apologetics on that channel or on that mm-hmm. TikTok account. And then I became a Catholic. I took some time off of TikTok because I thought maybe I should just keep my mouth shut if I'm not really sure what I believe at this moment. Came back to TikTok after becoming a Catholic, or soon before I became confirmed. And then I just felt like, you know, this a lot of these topics need to be kind of fleshed out in more detail and in longer form videos. So I brought it over to YouTube and saw pretty quick success with it. So I've been dedicating basically all of my time into it now.
So who's your audience? Is it Catholics or people who are considering the Catholic Church? People who disagree with you or agree with you? What is it?
I get a lot of converts and a lot of people who are currently in OCIA on their way into the church.
Oh, wonderful. And so their path is similar to your path.
Yeah. In fact, just last night I was talking to one of the guys who's a big supporter of the channel, and he had basically the same story as me. Grew up Protestant, became an atheist, came back to the faith, but was not really comfortable with Protestantism because he felt like something was missing there. We have a very similar path. So a lot of the people that I've encountered through the channel have that same story.
So what are you working on now? Like what kind of topics are you working on now?
Oh man, I talk about a lot of different things. I mean, any given week I'll be covering a couple different subjects. Lately I've been getting into the authority of the church, which is one of the main things that attracted me to the Catholic Church at first.
Really?
Because, yeah, I know it puts a lot of people off, especially in an American context, to say, oh, wait, I have to submit. I don't really like that. Right. But for me, it just made sense. You know, I was, at the time I was in a Lutheran church, and I had bounced around a couple of different Lutheran churches because some of them were just not very faithful. Some of them were doing basically open communion, which even Lutheranism like just is not cool with. And I just felt like if there was a church authority that could just, you know, say, hey, stop doing that. If you want to continue to be a valid church, that type of authority makes a lot of sense. So just seeing the practical benefits of having a church structure the way that the Catholic Church has really made that a much stronger case to me.
Would you like to be Tim Staples someday, like learn all that he has learned and make a profession out of it?
Say no.
No.
No, you don't want to be Tim.
I could only hope.
But is that something that's of interest to you? Like, would you like to pursue this as a
yes
professional path?
Yes. In fact, I don't not to like make a whole sob story or whatever, but I got laid off of my job recently, which is happening a lot right now, unfortunately, to a lot of people. But because of that, I'm like, okay, this is my full-time job now. So that's that is the goal.
God bless you.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, I have a very important question. Did you finish my book?
No, he said he didn't have to.
I didn't finish it.
What?
I got to be honest. Yeah,
you got to go back.
You
and
need
finish
to
it.
Finish that book. What are you talking about?
No, you
it's
know
such a good book.
It's really cool though that you're sharing as you are, because you do hear this sigh from converts. The authority of the church is really the linchpin for so many folks. I know for me, I can remember, brother, getting to the point where I saw it and it was like, man, it ought to be true if it's not, you
right,
know?
Right, yeah.
But I had so many other questions that I just couldn't buy it yet. And so I had to deal then with the individual issues, you know, works and sacraments and Mary and the rest. Yeah. Was that similar for you?
Yeah, although for me it was... Mary was the first, I guess the Eucharist, baptism, and Mary were like the first three things that I came to accept.
Okay.
And then from there, I accepted the church's authority. And I think the last thing that clicked for me was the papacy itself.
Right, right.
So yeah, that was not the same exact trajectory as you, but it was a domino effect.
Right, got it.
You know, Tim and I, a lot of gray hair between the two of us. I mean, a lot of, and a lot of product holding it all together. But so you got no gray hairs yet. What works? What do you find works with? I assume that you have a younger audience. I think that's fantastic. They've been through a lot. People your age, you're what, early 30s, right? So yep. People your age have been through a lot. They've been through the pandemic. They've, you know, they grew up with the war on terror. You were little kids when the World Trade Center, you know, as far as Christianity goes, scandals and upsets and frankly, a kind of the rise of the social media world. All of that is what your generation went through. What do they need to come to Christ and to his church?
Yeah.
Oof, that's a big question. I mean, I think a lot of what people my age are fed up with nowadays is the age of the philosophy of relativism that we kind of grew up in, where, you know, everybody's opinion is valid and that's your truth and that this is my truth. And
yeah.
That whole thing. And we've seen how that's resulted in a lot of different strange things happening in society today. But I think a lot of people my age are kind of tired of that, and they're looking for what is something solid I can stand on? What is something solid I can base my life off of? Rather than just living in this kind of vacuum of purposelessness and where there's no sense of objective truth. I think people are looking for something that is opposite of what they grew up with. And that's obviously very easily found in the Catholic Church.
Okay. What a beautiful answer, and what a beautiful work you've undertaken. Adrian, we're really grateful that you took the time with us.
Thank you so much.
And next time you come back, I'll be asking if you finished my book. So
I have to do it now. That's my
right.
Homework.
Yes, you do. You do have to finish the book.
I'll write
it took him long enough to finish it. Now you should finish it. All right? All right.
All right.
YouTube, Sips with Sarah. If people just go to YouTube and they type in Sips with Sarah and spell it S-E-R-R-A, they'll find you? Is that what will happen?
Yes. Yeah, right. I've tried it out. It works.
All right. God bless you, Adrian. Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll take a very quick break. We'll be right back with questions for Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Church Pop takes a fresh and fun look at the news shaping our world, featuring engaging, inspiring, and informative Catholic social media content. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. And you can get Church Pop emailed directly to your inbox. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I've been here at Catholic Answers more than 8 years now. And one of the things, and I know you will never say this and you will not like me saying it. How many people have said to me, Tim Staples was absolutely instrumental in me coming into the Catholic Church. It's a beautiful testament to the work you've done, Tim.
Yeah, and you hear it everywhere you go, and of course, and you know this, you hear the same with Trent Horn and Joe Eschmeyer and Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard. We've got a team here that is absolutely awesome, and the proof is in the pudding, as they say, right?
Yeah, and it like Adrian, he wants to explain to other people now what was explained to him. And I'd also think that's a great vindication of the whole people. Yeah. I think there's still people in the church who don't get it, that apologetics is important. You have to explain and defend the faith. You can't go, oh, it explains itself. They'll get it when they want.
In Evangelii Gaudium, section 132, Pope Francis said, we need a new apologetic, a new and creative apologetic in this time, especially where so many are losing faith in God. And as Adrian said, the relativism and such, that Pope Benedict XVI, I think, rightly coined the phrase, the dictatorship of relativism, is real. And the fruits of this, you do have young people that were raised, like Adrian, in a context where it's militantly presented to them in the context of the classroom, in high schools and in colleges and such. And so, you know, we need more Adrians out there.
Right. And there are more
Catholic Answers like organizations. And man, is it happening all over the world.
The number here is 888-318-7884. Whether you're Catholic or not, Christian or not, believer of any kind or not, you are welcome to call with your questions for Tim Staples, 888-318-7884. I have to say, Laura in North Carolina watching on YouTube has been very patient with us, waiting through a lot of the last hour while we tried to work our way through the questions with Father Tad Boholczyk last hour. Laura, thank you so much for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Tim. Nope, Laura didn't wait, huh? She fell asleep. Laura is taking it.
No, yeah.
I'm sorry, Laura. I know you're there. Go ahead with your question.
Yes.
Okay, great. So, Tim, as I understand it, we've got the natures and we've got the persons when it comes to God. And with Christ, the second person, we have the fully human nature, the fully human, and the full divinity as well.
Yes.
Does this, and this is a two-part question, so does this mean that Jesus Christ has a unique human personality? He's got this personality and not that one. Is that fair to say?
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't say person, but yeah, we can talk about a personality. Certainly. As you know, he is one divine person, but he does have two natures, a divine nature and a fully human nature. And so with that human nature, absolutely, you have a personality. In fact, you have, if you were to talk to Jesus 2,000 years ago, number one, you would see a striking resemblance to his mother because he didn't have a human father, right? He would have had a striking resemblance to his mother, but you would also see Saint Joseph in him because it was Joseph who formed him from the time he was a child, taught him to work with his hands and so forth. And so the personality that you would have seen develop would have been like any other of us. We human beings, we are very much affected most profoundly by our parents. And so Jesus would have as well. That's an awesome thought. And one of the many reasons why God gave particular grace to the Blessed Mother and to Saint Joseph. That's the reason why, as you know, we give Saint Joseph a unique honor in the church. Which is called proto-dulia, and of course, Mary hyper-dulia. Why? Because they were given particular graces by God, among other reasons, because of course, Joseph is also the patron saint of the universal church. He has all sorts of responsibilities to take care of Mary and Jesus and so forth, but part of that is the formation of the God-man, which is, man, that's something you could talk about, Cy, for hours.
It's an extraordinary mystery. It really is. Like, I always love when people ask a question like Laura asked. So when you say he had a personality, like,
yes.
Some people, like, I'm a morning person, I'm a night person, I'm a coffee person, I'm a tea person. Like, he would have those things.
Sure, he would have had preferences. But the hard thing for us, I think, Laura, is how to imagine perfection. And this is, again, Cy mentioned a mystery. This is a mystery that great minds like St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Albert the Great, St. Augustine have delved into, trying to understand, you know, what did he know and how did he know? And we know a lot about what he knew, but ultimately it is a mystery. Mm-hmm. We don't have the full answer. Why? Because, you know, and forgive us for going on here, Laura, but as 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see through a glass darkly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we have a lot that we do know about what Jesus knew. But the one thing we don't want to fall prey to is to indicate any kind of lack in Jesus. That is an imperfection, because he was, in fact, uniquely perfect. even in a different sense than the Blessed Mother, because, of course, with the Blessed Mother, though she was without sin, she didn't have the beatific vision from the moment of her conception like Jesus did. She could not say that she only does that which is the absolute best in pleasing God. She can't say that. She didn't sin. But only Jesus could say, you've heard me say this, Si.
I love this.
John chapter 5, verse 19, the Son of Man can do nothing on his own, but only that which he sees the Father do. So every word he spoke was the will of God absolutely, and no other human that has ever walked the planet can say that. But at any rate, does that help at all, Laura?
That absolutely helps lay the groundwork. May I ask part
sure.
two of the question?
Sure.
So, and I apologize because this to me sounds really silly, and it's going to sound silly to other people too. Therefore, since Jesus has a unique personality, these things, not other things, and so forth, preferences and so forth, is it possible that when we meet him in heaven, when we are with him in heaven, that while we love him above all things, we may still find that we like other people more than him?
that's not a silly question. I think that's a great question.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. But the answer is no.
Mm.
Because of the fact that we will have the beatific vision. If you and I endure till the end and we are saved, our wills will be fixed on the absolute truth of God and the absolute goodness of God. And we will, that's, you know, when you talk about the beatific vision, what is that? It's not that we're going to, when we say we will see him face to face, as I mentioned before, 1 Corinthians 13:12, Revelation 22:4, Matthew 5:8, lots of texts. Even in the Old Testament there, you have, what is that, Job 19, where Job says, I know that one day from my flesh I will see God, right? That's a powerful a text there. But, you know, the beatific vision is not with eyeballs, right? We won't see God with our eyeballs. We will comprehend him with our intellects. See, we will comprehend God as he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and as he is incarnate in Jesus Christ. We will comprehend that, not fully, because only God can fully comprehend God, but we will comprehend God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and our incarnate Lord in consonant with the gift of grace that we've been given in this life, along with our cooperation throughout our odyssey, our journey, our pilgrimage to heaven, so that the degree we grow in grace, coupled with the gift, because remember, Jesus gives different gifts to different folks, right? Mary got the biggest gift, the plenitude of grace, and so forth. That's the degree we will comprehend God. But it's in God. And actually, the Catechism of the Catholic Church has a wonderful section. And I want to say it's right around 1,033 down to like 1,042. In that, where it's talking about heaven and hell and purgatory and such. But there's a wonderful text there that says that when we get to heaven, we will see. This is incredible. I love talking about this. We will comprehend not only God face to face. That's the first principle of all of our knowledge. But because we comprehend God, we will also comprehend God's entire plan of salvation, his entire plan of salvation in Christ. So we will see how everything fits together, and we will perfectly give honor to whom honor is due in accordance with that hierarchy of being and the hierarchy of the gift of grace, so that we will give God what is his due. We will give Jesus what is his due. We will give the Blessed Mother. And you know what? We ain't going to get it wrong, right? Because there will be no defects in us any longer. we will see God face to face, and we will see all things in relation to Him. So in that sense, it will be impossible for us to place anything or anyone before God, and it would be impossible for us. Now, I know some would say you don't want to use the word impossible. I don't get so persnickety on that because, you know, it's like the difference between you can't do something or you wouldn't do something, right? Because we're not robots in heaven. So some don't like, you know, any sense of necessity, and I get that. But the bottom line is we will not be able to give Cy Kellett less than what is his due. So if he is deserving of more honor than Tim Staples, we will give him more honor than Tim Staples because we will know how God's entire plan of salvation worked together and how Cy cooperated with God better than Tim Staples. And it's not like we're going to go, bummer, man.
Aw, man.
No, we will rejoice in each other's gifts. At any rate, there's so much more we could talk about.
Laura, what fun questions. I'm so happy that you hung on. Thank you for doing that. We're going to return with more questions. It's Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples is our guest, and a bunch of folks are on the line. So off to the phones we go, up to Oregon. Linda is listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio up there in Oregon. We're glad you're here, Linda. Go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Hi.
So my question is, how do I evangelize vegans and vegetarians?
Okay.
Christianity.
Yes.
Christianity as a whole, because the Bible is used to justify the eating of animals and animal products.
Sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah, well, Linda, I would first of all say that being a vegan or a vegetarian is not a sin, and it's not contrary to the faith. You have had great Christians and some mystics in the past who have chosen to be vegetarians have had all sorts of, in fact, we've had folks who live on the Eucharist for a while.
Right,
that's
right.
More than just a vegetarian. How about St. Catherine of Siena and Padre Pio? I love Padre Pio because he lived on the Eucharist and the Lord kept him plump.
Yeah.
No. Catherine of Siena, you could kind of tell she was living on the Eucharist alone for a time. But at any rate, so it's not that someone needs to be evangelized because they're vegan or vegetarian, because there's nothing technically wrong with being that. Unless, Linda, and maybe this is to your point, you have folks who believe that it's wrong to eat meat. And so they evangelize people and say, you know, you're bad if you eat meat. Then, Linda, that's where evangelization, and that's probably what you were getting at. That's where you need to do some evangelizing. And I agree with what you indicated earlier. The Bible is very plain that eating meat is good. And my wife always uses this one. I know she's listening right now, but my wife uses all the time Cornelius from Acts chapter 10, as you probably know, Linda, when St. Peter was sent to preach the gospel to Cornelius, who would be the first Gentile convert brought into the church. Jesus gives a vision to St. Peter of all manner of four-legged creatures, unclean animals coming down out of the sky, and you have this like massive sheet unfolding, and here's all these unclean animals, and the voice of our blessed Lord from heaven saying to Peter, kill and eat. And I love Peter's response there, Linda. Not so, Lord. I have never touched anything unclean. I just love that. Talk about a relationship with Jesus.
I know. Not so,
yes,
Lord.
I'm sorry, if Jesus tells me to kill and eat, I'm looking for a knife.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, okay. But I mean, Peter was on another level, I think, than I am. But yeah, you know, not so, Lord. And the Lord has to give him that vision three times before Peter wakes up and understands, yes, you can kill and eat. And of course, the symbolism there is when Jesus says, do not call what I have called clean unclean. He's talking about animal meats, yes, like pigs and bottom dwellers, absolutely, but he's also talking about Gentiles. And so, Linda, I do think you can't get away from the fact that, you know, Jesus ate fish, Jesus ate meat, and of course here Jesus command the same Jesus who ate some fish, at least you'd have to be a Pescan vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
Is it Pesca or Pescan or whatever? Because Jesus ate fish, that's for sure. But he also ate lamb, we know, and he ate meats. Although, according to my big fat Greek wedding, I don't know if lamb is meat. He doesn't like meat? That's okay. We'll give him lamb. But at any rate, that's the bottom line, Linda. I think that the key is, you know, with folks who tend to be really strong on this, there tends to be a faulty understanding of the nature of animals, you know, and that's where the real evangelization lies, because you have folks who think, you know, you're committing murder if you eat a cow or something like that. And there you have to evangelize again, Linda, and help them to see that God gave all manner. We can go back to Genesis for this. God gave all manner of creatures to men to be used for clothing and for food. That's God's order of things, right? So that's a good way at least to get the conversation started. Does that make sense, Linda?
Well, except for this last part that you said about, you know, when he gave the animals to Adam and Eve.
Yes.
He actually said, I give you all the plants to eat. And it wasn't until Noah that he allowed people to eat meat. And
actually,
kind of seems like for their
that's a little
to, like, satisfy them.
Yeah, that's a little bit off. Yeah, you know, that is the sort of the common understanding. But actually, if you look at Scripture a little bit closer, you will see, for example, if you look at Cain and Abel, when they offered sacrifices, this was after the fall, you'll notice that Cain, this would be in Genesis chapter 4, as I recall, Cain brings, you know, his sacrifices from his crops because that's what he grew. And Abel brought sacrifices from the animals. And you'll notice that he offers the fatty portions to God, which is an indication. In fact, that's the same language used in the book of Leviticus and throughout the Torah. The fatty portions are given to God, and the meaty portions are to be eaten by the one who's offering the sacrifice. So there's actually indication that it wasn't strict vegetarianism even from the beginning. And St. Thomas Aquinas makes this point, by the way, and he also points out that God gave us these incisors for a reason, right?
Oh, does Aquinas point that out?
He does.
Oh.
And he said that this would have been true before the fall, St. Thomas says, because the fall did not change nature. We have a fallen nature, but there's no substantial change to nature as if, you know, we become we have a different nature. So God actually made us to eat animals as well as the fruit of trees and so forth. So actually, that's a little bit off there. You have to go a little bit deeper into sacred scripture to see that, you know, there are reasons for the stories, and sometimes an oversimplification can throw us off a little bit. But again, to get back to the main point, what I think anyone who would even given an honest perusal of sacred scripture, I think you have to see that God gave the animals to us to eat. And so to try to claim some sort of Christian necessitated veganism or vegetarianism is certainly contrary to the Bible. But listen, it's great talking to you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
This has been helpful for you.
Thank you very much. Every line continues full. So off we go to Prescott, Arizona. Isaac in Arizona, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Tim. Isaac, are you there with us?
Hello?
Oh, hi, Isaac. You're on the air with Tim Staples.
Oh, sorry about that.
No problem.
Yes. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Yes, I don't know if they've shared the question with you yet, but I shared it so many times, but haven't got on the air yet.
Okay.
But yes, I have a dear coworker of mine, a middle-aged woman, she's probably in her late 40s, I think, and or 50s. Sorry if she hears this later. she's a dear coworker of mine, and unfortunately, you know, she had two sons. Unfortunately, she lost her firstborn son in 2020 to a gun accident. He was just 17. And just last August, I remember working with her on a Wednesday night and said goodbye to her. And then the following day, I get a text that her secondborn, her only son, was in a car accident.
Oh, boy.
And
that's pain.
Is very injured. I mean, they had to resuscitate him right there on the spot. He's alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's kind of lame.
Right.
Though he's recovering every day through prayer.
But
I see her, and then, this is where we get to the meat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted context. She's going to mediums.
Oh.
She's going to mediums. She's trying to seek out her firstborn son. She's in the Christian faith, and she's a baptized Greek Orthodox.
Right.
Her kids were. I think they're attending a Bible church now, but I just see the sorrow in her. I don't even know how she could come to work every day. You know, she's a strong woman, but she's seeking out mediums.
Right.
And she said it behind my back, but then she laughed at it, saying, "Oh, I know Isaac would be against this because she knows about my Catholic faith."
So you want some advice?
We're on the spot.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like she knows that would be contrary to her Orthodox faith as well, because this is, of course, a violation of the first commandment. You know, you got Deuteronomy 18, 8 through 10. You've got, you know, and of course, the Catechism of the Catholic Church under the First Commandment condemns going to mediums and such. And I think the way to go about it is, of course, as always, in the most loving way that we can, understanding the pain that people go through. And often, it's the pain that sends people away from God. You know, people struggling to have kids, and they resort to IVF, for example. You know, it's a very common thing that happens. And unfortunately, you know, you have to evangelize and help them to see, you know, you want to do it the way God wants you to do it. And there are easy, quick fixes out there, you know, and and it's so easy in times of pain to resort to that quick fix. You know, my kids and I were watching a special the other night. We were watching Star Trek VI. You're not going to believe, how is he getting on Star Trek VI here? But we were watching the special features afterward, and one of the commentators was talking about how that when you talk about gratification, if something is immediate gratification, it's not as fulfilling. But it's so tempting.
Oh, yes.
Whether it's sexual sin, whether it's, you know, trying to have a baby, trying to get healing, the same principle can apply. It's so easy to go to the quick fix, the quick gratification. But what you find is there's nothing there. You go after it, and maybe there's an immediate little bit of a help, but you end up falling deeper. Because ultimately, that's what the enemy of our soul, and I know that I don't want to get too involved in this, because basically you need to love this person with everything you've got. But perhaps, you know, that angle, you kind of help her to see that, look, you know, the devil, and that's what you're messing with. When you go with mediums, you're really relying on something other than God to get your answer to prayer. And it will only result in disaster. You may get little quick fixes, a little bit of help here and there. But, you know, remember and urge your friend to see, you know, Jesus said he's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But what does he say right before that in John 10:10? The thief, that's the devil, comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Man. Don't get outside of God's plan, because once you do that, you walk out and you start going to a medium or whatever it is that you're doing contrary to the will of God, no matter what happens there in the short term, maybe you get a little psychological help or this or that, the enemy of your soul, who is real, wants nothing but your destruction, and he loves it when he can get a Christian to walk out from the protection of God and away from God in order to try to get to God. Isn't that ultimately what Adam did, right? He was trying to get to God without God, and that's what the devil tempted him with, right? Did God say, when you eat this, let me tell you something, right? No, he knows your eyes are going to be open. You're going to, and he lied. He is the father of lies. He lied to Adam and said, no, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be woo, right? And what happened was death, and death for Adam and death for all of his progeny. So, you know, the bottom line is we have to encourage people to do it God's way and understand that you always win. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you're immediately going to get the job, the kid's going to be great, and everybody, you're going to be healthy and happy. No, because, you know, the way of the cross is real as well. We're called at times to suffer with our Lord. We're called to rejoice in and with our Lord, of course. But the key is, if you follow the Lord, you follow the Lord's way, you will never lose in the end. Because his way is the way of peace. His way is the way of joy that you can't get anywhere else. Does that help at all, brother?
It does help. And just one quick question, because I actually have to go myself. Sadly, I wish I could stay for an hour. I love these dialogues. You know, so what do I tell her of her boy who died?
He's
with the Lord. He's with the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know,
Absolutely. And how old was the child again?
17, baptized Orthodox.
Wow. And And that's the hope that we have as Christians. Our hope is in the Lord, and that we will see our loved ones again, at least, you know, in the order of hope, because God is ultimately the judge. But yeah, that is where you want to go. hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Quoting an old Protestant hymn I used to sing as a kid there.
Isaac, I want to, you probably know where Sacred Heart Parish is there in Prescott, Arizona. Carlo Broussard is going to be speaking there the night of March 23rd. From 6:30 to 8 p.m., he's speaking on the Eucharist. So go catch Carlo Broussard at Fantastic. Sacred Heart Parish in Prescott. Got to take a quick break. Right back with more Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, "When we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue." Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
EWTN Radio is growing. Are you an experienced radio producer looking for an opportunity to help forward Mother Angelica's mission of evangelization? We need a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage all aspects of producing world-class radio programming. You could be the newest member of the EWTN Radio family. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to ewtn.com/employment.
Catholic Answers Live, Tim Staples, our guest. It's Ask Me Anything. Joel is in California listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Joel. You got a question for Tim?
Hello.
Oh, he might not be there. All right. Well, sorry, Joel. I was kind of looking forward to that question. Maybe he will call back and ask it. We rarely get questions about dueling, Joel, so I was kind of looking forward to that one. But if you're on your way to a duel, let me just say, don't do it, Joel.
Yeah, you know what? As long as you brought it up, you know, the Catholic Church has explicitly condemned
dueling.
Yeah. Dueling. And of course, it's contrary to the Fifth Commandment.
Right.
On its face, right? So, but Pope Benedict XIV, you know, it's amazing how in the church, what the church has covered over the centuries.
Oh, I know, right. You know, yeah.
It's incredible. But Pope Benedict XIV in Detestabilem, that's Latin for detestable, condemned formally dueling because it was the practice back then. This is 1752. So the church has explicitly condemned dueling by name, but of course it's condemned because it's simply murder. The only time that someone can take the life of another is in the context of self-defense, if it's an individual, or if it's in wartime or police work and so forth, protecting the lives of others. And, you know, defending your family and so forth would be including in that. Defending life. Sometimes it becomes necessary to deliver the lethal blow, as the Catechism talks about. This is not what we want, but mm-hmm. sometimes it is of necessity. It happens. So I guess I answered that question.
Yes, you did. Next, a question about jousting. What's the church's position on jousting?
There you go.
Actually, I know jousting is also banned by the church.
That's right.
But,
Same principle.
It's so funny because in the modern world, everyone thinks that the main teachings of the church are sexual teachings.
Oh, my gosh.
But the church has been trying to stop violence for 2,000 years.
Yes.
Nobody listens, but there's a lot of rules against being violent.
Yeah, and if you just take the time to look at the Ten Commandments, there's just the one, you know, the sixth.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other ones, and they entail a whole lot of sins.
What about the tenth?
Oh,
I always took that one to be, I'm not sure exactly what it means, but...
Coveting, yes.
Yeah.
So the sixth and the ninth are the two that
the
are
ninth.
Sexual.
Yeah, the ninth, right.
Tenth is coveting your neighbor's stuff. Sorry for my Protestant friends, but yes, the ninth is thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. The tenth is thou shalt not desire your neighbor's stuff. So you're right. Two out of the ten have to do with sexuality. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the teachings of the church, just look at the section of the catechism on the Ten Commandments. It is so rich.
Oh, yes.
Just, right. You know what, folks, if you really want to get a sense of things, get a good examination of conscience and go through all the commandments. And number one, you're going to need to go to confession afterward.
That's why I don't do them, Tim.
That's right. Yeah. Cy Kellett's School of Moral Theology is la, 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 la. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Because once you do, you go, wow.
Yes, because there is. And, you know, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you want to get closer
to Jesus. Amen to that, right?
Anyway.
Shelly in Ottoville, Ohio, watching on YouTube. Shelly, thanks for calling. Go ahead with your question. Hi, Shelly.
Hi, yes. Hi, I am from Northwest Ohio and from a county that has a lot of beautiful Catholic churches and also a lot of cradle Catholics, yes. You know, one would say. And I wanted to get your thoughts and take, Tim, and maybe Cy too, on, you know, how can we teach, and you're talking about apologetics and, you know, knowing the faith, defending the faith, and not just going through the motions. Any advice on setting a parish on fire?
Hey, there you go.
Even recommendations on a parish mission.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Pope St. John Paul the Great, in his wonderful little book, it's one of his interview books, Crossing the Threshold of Hope. I love that there's a section in there where he talks about as a child here. It's actually the question was about hell. And he answers the question about how, by the way, that's a great book. John Paul, he just answers everything in that book. I mean, he's like, he answers the toughest questions. But at any rate, on the hell question, he talks about as a child in Poland, the missionary priests that would come in and preach at Lent and scare the hell out of people. Literally, right? Now, he didn't use those terms, but he said they instilled the fear of God in you. And he said, we need that from time to time. You know, we need to hear. So that, absolutely, you know, read some of the homilies of St. John Vianney. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that man preached the gospel. We need that. So I encourage folks, you know, get good speakers to come into your parish. You know, get involved with, you know, bringing in apologetic speakers, maybe even Tim Staples. I hear he's okay.
Yeah, I've seen him light a fire every now and then.
Carlo Broussard and Joe Heschmeyer and Jimmy Akin and Trent Horn. And, yeah, bringing in speakers into a parish. I'm telling you, I've seen it over the last 31 years. Extraordinary things happen. And you can, you know, especially with parish missions, our talks, at least mine are, much more geared toward the spiritual life than, you know, the classic apologetics. You know, I'll mix in both. But what I have found over the years is the conversions, lives change. You hear about it for years and years and years. You know, I'll share just this real quick example. There's a priest out there, he may be listening right now, Father Ken Geraci of the Fathers of Mercy. Well, I first met him about 31 years ago. When I first started in apologetics, I was doing a parish mission, to answer your question. And he came with his mother because he had left the church. His mother dragged him there. He had left the church and was attending an evangelical ecclesial community. And his mother begged him to come because she was brokenhearted because he had left the faith. And you know what happened? He fell into, you know, lukewarm Catholic, and then some evangelicals evangelized him, and he ends up leaving the church. Well, he came with a list. He showed me 21 reasons why he's not Catholic. Well, I answered a whole lot of those questions for him, And that was the first step back to the church, and now he's a Catholic priest, let me tell you. And he is a fireball traversing the country preaching missions. So absolutely, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit. Bring in speakers into your parish. It can really shake things up in a good way.
Shelley, if you want some more resources and names and all that, just shoot us an email, radio@catholic.com. I'll get back to you. Radio@catholic.com is the place to write to. But you can hear the music. That means we are done. I am sorry to all those still on the line, but we'll do it again tomorrow. Tim Staples, thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and you too. And we'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.